Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Back Row Fantasy Show with your hosts Jeremy Barker and Aaron Arms.
Welcome to the Back Row Fantasy Show. This is a Barker show today, so it's me in the middle this time hosting. Arms in the middle. Got Lambert to my left.
Hey.
And Hux to my right.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, another day in paradise. So it's going to be a little bit different because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Barker pretty much does, you know, runs the whole thing, soundboard, et cetera. So if it's clunky, I apologize. First off, I want to thank our listeners for the recent ratings and reviews. I appreciate everything on that. If you've yet to do so, please get out there. Give us a like, get on our Facebook page, Instagram, et cetera. Give us a rating, give us a review. That's what helps us grow. So, you know, doesn't matter your podcast player, you can do so. I know iTunes is a little clunky. Sometimes you got to log on to a computer to actually do the rating and review. So now that we've got that out of the way, guys, let's talk about that game last night. The Patriots rolled up the Giants, which kind of is expected. I mean, first and foremost, is this the best Patriots defense we've ever seen?
I don't know about the best, but it's one of the better ones for sure. Yeah, in recent memory.
They've definitely looked impressive.
I mean, we're talking about a team that I think has allowed, one touchdown in the air this year. One. That is,
seems unreal in today's NFL.
That's insane. I mean, they've
48 points in six games. That's all they've allowed off, 48 points.
Wow. I mean, that is insane. So, as far as with the Giants, the stat line, obviously Golden Tate looks like Golden Tate again. You know, gets 9 targets, six receptions for 102 yards and a touchdown. You guys buying on Golden Tate right now?
He was the only weapon last night.
Okay.
Last night. But once they get Shepard back, get
Saquon,
Ingram, once they come back, I think it'll be more spread out. I like Golden Tate, though. I think he's going to be a target monster like he normally is.
Okay.
I'd like to see that offense when they all are together, because I think it could be a pretty good offense.
And not playing the Patriots.
Well, yeah.
I mean, overall, I will say, I mean, obviously Daniel Jones looked, you know, pretty rough last night, 3 interceptions. But, I mean, his QBR was 9.2, which is 9.2 higher than Baker Mayfield last week, by the way. Horrible. Wow. I mean, that is horrible. Now, I don't know what Baker's was, but I know it was bad. But, I mean, listen, there's a lot to be excited about skill position there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They're young. I mean, Tate's not the youngest, but the rest of the guys, they're young. They got definitely got a lot of potential.
Overall, I will say Danny Dimes has made me eat a little bit of crow this year. He doesn't look like the best quarterback in the league. He's no Gardner Minshew. But you know, Danny Dimes looks pretty solid. So, you know, he's a target. I'd like to acquire him in some leagues. I don't think he's going to be like rookie of the year level type quarterback, anything like that. But I would like to have some future Danny Dimes shares.
Absolutely. Plus, I mean, it's his rookie year. Mm-hmm. So he's only going to continue to get better, I think.
I mean, in theory.
And like you said,
once again,
the weapons
Baker
there.
Mayfield.
Well, yeah. That's true. But, well, Baker's got a whole different set of issues with that cardboard line that they've got.
Yeah, I think the offensive line's the big key there for Cleveland.
And speaking of offensive line, that is one thing that you can honestly say about the Patriots. I don't think in the past 100 years that Tom Brady's been in the league that they've had an offensive line that rated outside the top 5 in the NFL.
Yeah, I didn't really watch much of the game last night, but I'm surprised to see that he got sacked 3 times last night.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's a lot. But, yeah, he doesn't get touched hardly ever.
The biggest success for Tom Brady, I mean, it's his ability to read quick and release quick. I mean, all last year, it's like, all right, who are we sitting on defense? Whatever defensive end is playing against Tom Brady. I mean, that's what it always amounted out to be. But I mean, this team looks, I mean, they look hard to beat. I think they look like they can be beat, but it's going to be a close game. And I mean, honestly, it's going to require you to outcoach Bill Belichick, and there's nobody out there able to do it.
Yeah, good luck with that.
I mean, you've got an outscore team that, you know, has running backs that are capable across the board. You know, Sony Michel, apparently they, you know, hate him, so they give Brandon Bolden the touchdown.
That's just Bill Belichick hates your fantasy teams.
He does. Bill Belichick. The most maddening thing has always been which Patriot running back to start, because you're not right.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You're not right.
Yep. It's like being married.
Julian Edelman does Julian Edelman things. Target monster. 15 targets last night. 113 yards, 9 receptions. I mean, and then, of course, James White actually finally had a decent contribution to your fantasy team with 9 receptions for 46 yards. So, you think White's emerging again?
Did he ever go anywhere? I mean, in PPR formats, anyway.
In PPR, he struggled for a few weeks.
Yeah.
He was kind of like, you put him in, and you're like, what? Like, 2 receptions? What are you doing, James White? This isn't you. This is not why you're, you know, my flex play. So, a couple of little news and notes. Jay Ajayi said he's ready to start working out for teams. Anyone care?
Nope.
Anyone care?
No, I don't care, but he'll have some interest. He'll get picked up by somebody.
But
Giants could probably use him.
For what, another week? Whenever
Saquon will be back in a week or two.
Yep. Saquon Barkley was part of the Universal Soldier Project. I don't know if you knew this or not.
Right.
The dude's not human. He's not that's not a real person out there. That is some sort of demigod. I mean, he's related to Maui from Moana. I mean, he's just a different type of human. He's been cutting, like, dude's got a high ankle sprain, showing off, you know, 40-inch vertical still. Works out, what, 2-3 weeks into it. I think he's going to be back on the field sooner rather than later. I do hope that they're smart about it and they're cautious in bringing him back. You don't want to, you know, take a risk of, you know, re-injury or possibly, you know, making it a more serious injury than it is. So, Zay Jones to Oakland. So, a lot of people had some hype on Zay Jones going into the season, thinking that he's going to take the next step forward for Buffalo. So, he goes to Oakland for a 5th. Thoughts on that?
A next year, a 2021 5th.
Right, it's not even, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what's that play? I don't understand that play.
I think Buffalo was just looking to get something out of him. He fell down the depth chart.
Who was the guy that that played for them last week? He didn't put up amazing stats, but he did all right. Can't remember his name.
Buffalo?
Yeah, for Buffalo.
I'm not sure, but let me ask one of you, I'm sure, is looking that up. Any fantasy value to Zay Jones now? I mean, he should, in theory, walk in de facto number 2 in Oakland.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you got to have some value, yeah.
So, I mean, do you even trust him as a number 3, a wide receiver 3? Or is he worth the flyer?
Maybe not this week, but I would try
Thank
to
you.
Pick
Thank
him
you.
Up.
It's a bye week. Yeah, so Oakland guaranteed to not lose this week. Oh, Duke Williams?
Duke Williams.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, he's a rookie.
Right.
Yeah.
First year out of Auburn. Is that right? Clemson, maybe. One of those.
Yeah, I don't know. It took a lot of pride in knowing Auburn. Where everybody went to college. Right now, I'm kind of off that way.
But I think he played well enough that they felt good letting Zay go.
So, one thing I can say about this year is I feel like I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Like, whenever you look at who's at the top of some of these the position groups, it's mind blowing. You know, you've got the big guys, you know, at the top right now at quarterback and points per game. You got Russell Wilson, Mahomes, Watson, then Lamar Jackson at the number 4 points per game. Obviously, his legs are helping you out, but I mean, grand scheme of things, he's not exactly, you know, he's not rushing 100 yards a game. He's getting you know 60, 70 yards a game. 308 yards on the ground so far this year. Then, you know, Matt Ryan, he was, you know, top tier last year. Then you got Dak. Obviously, Dak adds a little bit to the ground, or with his ground game. Stafford, Brady, Wentz, and Kyler Murray's at 11. But what kind of floors me more is Jared Goff is all the way down at 14, just below Gardner Minshew. Andy Dalton is above Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Aaron Rodgers' point per game is 20th. The guys right above him, Case Keenum, Josh Allen, Marcus Mariota, Andy Dalton. I mean,
Goff being that low kind of surprises me just for the simple fact of how many times they've had to throw the ball. He's averaging like 44 attempts a game, and him being that low is kind of crazy to me.
And another quarterback that's low, and it's not that I really projected him to be a star, but Jimmy Garoppolo, for as good as they're doing, kind of shocks me that he's quarterback 21 right now.
Yeah, it's been more about the defense and the run game there.
He's not had to do a whole lot.
Just won football games.
He's the new Alex Smith.
My favorite stat is whenever you sort by points per game, the top 32 quarterbacks in the NFL, Baker Mayfield's name does not appear. Baker Mayfield, points per game, is the 32nd quarterback. With stars above him like...
You mean 33?
Or 33rd, yes. Stars above him like Chase Daniel and Joe Flacco. You know, I mean...
And a game or two from Eli Manning.
Teddy Roosevelt. I mean, yeah. I mean, these guys are... What is going on with Baker Mayfield? I know the line's bad.
Oh, it's bad.
And this is one thing, I mean... I know I've talked about it before on the show last year a lot. You got to address the offensive line. That should be – you build from the inside out.
They had a solid line last year.
They let a lot of pieces go. Yeah. A couple of them got hurt.
Who was that they traded? Zeitler? Ziegler? Mm-hmm. Zeitler.
Yep.
Yeah, that was – I mean, that he was one of the best.
Well, I know it wasn't last year, but they let Mac go to the Falcons too. I mean, that was a solid centerpiece.
Yeah.
So
– yeah, I still wouldn't be shocked. I'm surprised it hasn't happened, but I still wouldn't be shocked if they went and traded for Trent Williams from Washington. But I'm just surprised it hasn't happened yet.
So it's flooring me with, like I said, the points per game, how the disparity is, the regression of Baker Mayfield. And that's just a quarterback. I mean, whenever we move over to running back, obviously you got the star at the top, Christian McCaffrey. Number two, Austin Ekeler.
Yeah, I mean... That'll go down some.
Oh, absolutely. I think if you've got him now, trade him. I personally, if I had Ekeler week three, I know he was winning weeks, but you knew Melvin Gordon was going to be back at some point during the season. You got to trade him. I believe the whole Austin Ekeler, you know, he lost his value too quickly by Melvin Gordon returning a little bit early. Do you guys, I mean, are you...
The thing with Ekeler was he put up points last year, even with MG3 there. So, I mean, in a PPR format, I don't mind hanging on to him.
Would he have, like, 15 catches last week?
Ekeler? Yeah, he had some insane amount of targets, too.
Yeah, it was...
I mean, he's got 39 receptions on the year. I mean,
15 last week with 16 targets.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's crazy there. But, I mean, obviously he's not going to get 15 catches every week.
So, points per game, once again, CMC, then Ekeler, Dalvin Cook. I know I'm shocked with how great he's doing. There's only, I believe, three running backs this year who are averaging over 100 yards a game. That's McCaffrey, Cook, and Fournette, which that's just shocking to me. That blows my mind.
Minnesota's just made an emphasis around the run. It's just the new coordinator's style. So, and his health, obviously, is the biggest factor there.
Number four, we've got Aaron Jones. You know, a lot of the reason why he got boosted, that big four touchdown week last week that I ran up against in like two, three leagues is ridiculous.
I had him on the bench in one of my leagues, so that hurt.
Then, of course, Nick Chubb. I think most of us in this room felt like Nick Chubb had some, you know, was going to ascend towards the top this year. Kamara at six, he's 3 points behind Chubb. David Johnson putting together an okay year on a not-so-good team. Fournette in the top 10 at 8. Mark Ingram, you know, he's had, a 3-touchdown week to start the season, so he's sitting there at 9, and then Le'Veon Bell at 10. The killer is, it just seems, it's odd to me that some of the players, you know, your Ezekiel Elliott's what you picked first, second, or third. You know, he's sitting there at running back 11. Saquon Barkley, obviously the injury, but he's at running back 15. James Conner, all the way down at running back 20. I mean, man, it's almost like if you paid the premium to get a running back first, second, or third, outside of Kamara or Christian McCaffrey, you're screwed.
Where's Joe Mixon at? I mean, people predicted a lot of things out of him this year, and he's way down there. Just having a bad year.
Points per game, Joe Mixon is so bad he didn't make the top 32.
That's another bad offensive line situation. Oh, yeah. Like, I don't know how Andy Dalton has as many points as he does either.
Joe Mixon is running
just
back
playing from
30,
behind, I believe. He's just having to throw the ball.
Running back 37. Players right behind Joe Mixon include Carlos Hyde, Peyton Barber, and Ronald Jones. Joe, get it together. But once again, offensive line. Your line is bad.
Yeah.
You can't win.
Oh, Mixon's talent is all get out.
I will honestly say Mixon is without a doubt in the top 10 in talent in the league. Unfortunately, he has nobody to block for him.
If you're in a dynasty league, though, I'd go get him. I'd try and get him at least for next year.
Frustrated owner. Probably get him for...
I own him and I'm frustrated.
Trade him to me.
No, I'm good.
So here's the one that really has some disparity from what you expected. I mean, who's number one receiver going into this year?
Hopkins.
Well, Hopkins.
Or Adams.
Hopkins, yeah. Adams, Thomas. One of those three. All right. I'm a big Thomas guy. Thomas would have been the right pick because he's number three. The other ones are on down the list. Number one receiver right now, points per game and full point PPR, yes, is Chris Godwin. Then Cooper Kupp. Then Michael Thomas, which is, right, I mean, 0.1 points behind Cooper Kupp. Then Amari Cooper's, you know, putting together a good year. Then you got DJ Chark. I mean, in your top five, you have one guy you expected to be there. Number six, Keenan Allen. Number seven, Michael Gallup. What? You know,
two Cowboys in the top seven.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, and then T.Y. Hilton at eight. I mean, you expect that with Andrew Luck. You don't expect it with Jacoby Brissett. Julio Jones at nine. Obviously, you always expect him to be there. DeSean Jackson sitting at number 10. Just, this is not a list I'm expecting those names to be at the top of. You know, we just named in your top 10, we named like five wide receiver twos.
Yeah,
I mean, guys, you're looking as wide receiver too whenever you're drafting.
I mean, when they were drafted, I mean, a lot of people expected the ascension of Chris Godwin.
Oh yeah,
I mean, maybe not quite what he's doing so far this year, but
I mean, is he truly the wide receiver down in Tampa Bay?
I don't know. I honestly think both of them are. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, you can't go. I mean, I know Evans had a bad, you know, obviously no catches last week, but they're going to get both of them the ball. That's just how their offense is going to run.
And the way their offense is set up.
So. Yeah, it's just how it is. They don't have a run game.
So you've got Terry McLaurin at 15. A lot of people liked him. Here's one that's I'm struggling with. Adam Thielen at wide receiver 18 points per game.
Well, where's Diggs? I'm struggling more with where Diggs is than Thielen.
I mean, Thielen through the first half of the season was number one last year.
Well, yeah, but he fell off towards the end, too.
But
you still didn't expect this big
drop
for Diggs.
Well, the offense is completely different than it was last year.
Right.
I know, but the premium you had to pay to get these guys, once again, this is where I feel like I have no clue what the hell I'm doing. You know what I mean?
It's definitely not how we drew it up.
It's a weird year.
Yeah, and I mean, Odell Beckham Jr., points per game, wide receiver, 45. He is a wide receiver three. And he had a three-touchdown week, I believe, at some point this season. That is just insanity to me. I'm so far down. I've still not found Diggs, and I mean I am low on the list. So yeah, I mean Diggs obviously struggling. I do think that one thing I will say about
a lot of that's Thielen, Cousins, yeah, struggling too.
One thing I will say about Thielen is I do think that he's going to the squeaky wheel. You know, he's going to get his grease now. I think he's, you know, showed a little bit. They're going to try to get him the ball a little bit more like they did last week. Just an incredibly strange season to me so far. I mean, obviously the cream will rise, right? The best of the best at the end of the season is going to be right there with the best. So don't panic yet. Your season's not over. I mean, hell, in the Brill, I think I set the scoring record last week. I was 0-4. I'm now 1-4 because last week. I mean, it's insanity. So one more thing before we move on to our starts and sits. Just want to speak to something we talk about quite often on the show, just a little bit of trade etiquette. So if you're going to make a trade, Michael Bauer, Dynasty Rewind, if you're going to make a trade, I feel like we should at least have a trade that is counterable. I was offered... In the Brill, by one of the owners. This would be Bauer.
Well, now, I do want to step in here. You're calling a guy out. Is that something you guys are okay with? I saw this question posted on Twitter. Are you mm-hmm. okay? I mean, if you just put somebody on blast for their terrible trade offers.
I'm okay with it.
But obviously. Do you do it? I mean, because that, to me, so if somebody's going to put a bad trade, as someone who sends bad trade offers, if someone's putting those bad trade offers out there and just talking shit about you, that's going to make me not want to deal with that person.
Okay, but let me, here's how I would have approached it. If you are going to make a trade and say, can we build something around this? First thing I do is I approach an owner and I say, what do you want for this guy?
All right. So you don't just straight up send cold offers, just bam, just filling people's inboxes?
On occasion, I will. If I'm real hot on a player and I've got an older guy that I think is going to start to regress, yeah. But, like, in this league, that was one of my offers. It was Chase Edmonds, Mike Gesicki for Kerryon. Kerryon's not having a great year, but, my God, you're offering me a backup wide receiver, backup running back.
And
a tight end that won't start on any team.
Yeah.
And I've got O.J. Howard in that league.
Was this
Trust me.
When David Johnson was out with a back injury?
Yeah. I mean, this is 2 days ago, I believe. And then another offer for Kerryon, which, by the way, I think, second year in the league, Deion Lewis and Jimmy Graham. Once again, I can't counter either of those. I'm not saying, I guess my problem with it is if I was going to try to acquire a player, at least let me know that that's not your final offer, right? Can we build something around this?
I mean, typically the first offer is not going to be the best offer or the final offer. There's usually something to work with. But, yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, where do you go with that from there?
Yeah.
And in his defense, it is you. So I generally lowball the hell out of you.
I understand that. But, think about the mode that you're in, the mode that the other owner's in. Kind of look at their team, see what their needs are.
Yeah. Well, he saw you had O.J. Howard. So, boom, Jimmy Graham.
There's a hell of an upgrade. But, and another thing, kind of figure out what mode you're in. Do you want to win now? I mean, if I'm in a win now mode and I'm approaching one of the cellar dwellers in my league, I'm coming with picks. I'll give you a replacement level guy, right? Someone a little bit worse than what you got. But I'll toss in, starter. I'll start with the third or a second. Depends on what you've got. I mean, what was your offer, Lambert, for for Saquon Barkley?
Oh, I'm not even sure.
It was 2 seconds.
It was pretty rough. Yeah.
I can't even
remember who the player was.
It was bad. I cannot remember who it was, but it was like two.
I mean, he is injured.
He didn't even offer you a running back, though. It was a wide receiver.
It may have been. I can't.
It was like a, and I'm not knocking this guy, but like a Preston Williams level wide receiver, because you're like, what? No, it was Marquise Goodwin.
I really like Preston Williams.
It was Marquise Goodwin in 2 seconds. And you got to give, my point is, if you want to start, if you want to get into trade talks with someone, you can't just make an offensively bad offer.
Yeah, because that'll kill trade talks. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, once again, look at what I need as an owner. I want someone to say, all right, I notice you're struggling at tight end, so I'm going to give you a better tight end than you have, not an equal tight end. Right. I don't need depth. I need a better player.
Yeah.
Let me upgrade at a position, because you're obviously trying to get my player to upgrade a position for you. And then, the other one is, if you're looking for, a tight end and you're a contender, dude, come off your picks. Running back, come off your picks. Because if you're trying to win now, the cellar dweller is not going to get any better by getting two mid-tier players for a stud. They've got to have something to kind of bank on next year. So, anyhow, I digress. I'll get off my high horse with the trade etiquette. But you guys have anything you'd like to add before we get rolling?
No, I believe you covered it.
I believe you've spoken for everyone.
As I normally do. I apologize. I'm sometimes long-winded. It's been 2 weeks since I've been on the show.
Yeah, how was the vacation?
It was excellent, but nobody in Fantasy Football Land gives one flying crap about that.
That's not true.
Just you.
I would say you look tan, but I don't.
I look
at did you even go in the sun?
Yeah.
Stay in the hotel?
I look a different shade of red this year. So
you just look a little angrier.
So anyhow, so let's start off with you know, our starts and sits. We're going to go ahead and hit the starts. Start over at quarterback. Lambert, who you got to start at quarterback this week?
I know you're not going to like it, but I got Kyler Murray.
Boo!
Has a start. I got Murray over there. The Falcons defense, it's just been bad. He also had 93 yards rushing and a score last week, mm-hmm. so I feel like his legs will put him, you know, up there, have a nice floor.
Yep.
But I also think with this Falcons defense, I think he could put up some good points this week.
There's a reason they're 1-4.
I had Kyler on there also. The over-under is 51.5 right now. He's had 189 rushing yards the last 3 weeks. It should be a back-and-forth game. I mean, it's a pretty close spread. I think the Falcons are favored by 3. I love Kyler this week.
My start of the week is going to be Case Keenum. It looks like he's ready to come back and play. If you look at his stat line, week one, he put up 3 touchdowns and 380 yards against the Eagles. Plays I know the Dem boys have lost 2 in a row, I believe, but the Cowboys defense is legit. You know, he still put up 27 points. He threw 2 touchdowns that game. Played the Bears, obviously a great defense. Put up 330 and 2 touchdowns in that game. You know, sacked a couple times. You know, probably had a couple fumbles because he's threw 3 interceptions as well in that game. I mean, he struggled, but you know, against good teams, he's put up decent statistics. Now he plays the lowly Dolphins. The Dolphins who turned Lamar Jackson into the best quarterback in the league. You know, what do you guys think about Keenum this week? I feel like his value on DFS is going to be through the roof.
McLaurin's healthy again. I'm pretty sure they're going to run AP more, aren't they?
Yeah, that's what Callahan came out and said. They're going to try to run the ball more. But, yeah, I like Keenum this week.
Okay. So, moving on to running back.
I'd like to
– I'm sorry. You said something.
I added to Kyler.
Okay.
My favorite quarterback. My bad.
I thought he was your start.
Well, I mean, I got multiple down here, but I like Cousins this week.
I got him pulling in arms over there. I got 5 starters.
Hey, just let me talk.
Yeah, I like Cousins against the Eagles this week. They're at home. And Eagles got one of the best run Ds in the league. I don't think they're going to stop Dalvin Cook by any means, but Dalvin's probably going to get his more through the air this week. But I like Cousins. You know, he looked good last week.
Agreed.
Against the Giants, but he looked good on the road. Coming back home, I think they're going to continue to throw the ball a little bit, and I think that's how they win that game.
Well, I think a lot of people are getting frustrated with how that offense is running.
Yeah, I mean, and Thielen and Diggs have both spoken out.
Well, Diggs especially.
Yeah.
I mean,
Kirk Cousins has one of the best, you know, skill position play.
Oh,
yes, that too. One of the best skill position groups around him. I mean, 2 absolute stud wide receivers, apparently, that he doesn't like to use very often.
Well, and he's got 2 good tight ends in Rudolph and Irv Smith Jr.
Smith, yep. Yeah.
And you've got Dalvin Cook, Alexander Mattison. That offense should be.
And the offensive line's pretty good.
I was going to say, it's a great offensive line.
I don't understand how they're not doing better.
But that's the thing.
Fantasy.
They are.
Yeah, the team is doing well, but fantasy-wise, I would expect more points out of Thielen and Diggs. Well, and Cousins, for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just mind blown with the way Kirk Cousins has performed this year.
I love him, especially on DK this week at 5,200. So
cheap play.
Yeah.
Cheap play. So you done? Can
yeah.
I talk now?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
I have my 2 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you. You can go ahead and leave now. Lambert,
I do need a drink.
Okay. Lambert, running backs. Who do you got starting a running back this week?
A guy you spoke on earlier who's not having a great year, James Conner. I'm going to plug him in this week. You got Jalen Samuels. He's out. And the Chargers got eaten up last week by Phillip Lindsay and Royce Freeman. So I'm running James Conner this week.
Conner is a bell cow, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Connor's just been, I mean, such a disappointment this year, though.
If from where you expected him to be. I mean, last year he was a monster.
And then
this year he's not looked.
I would say he was like running back 4 last year.
Just a shell of his former self.
My only concern with Connor this week is Pittsburgh starting the rookie third stringer.
Devlin
Hodges.
Yeah.
That's my only concern with, you know, possibly stack the box, you know. Make
him
Hodges, you know, throw. So But, I mean, Connor can have 8 to 10 catches. You never know. So he'd still be good.
The one thing you can kind of bank on with Connor this week is you know he's not losing anything to anybody else. I mean,
right.
Yeah, I mean, Benny Snell. What, Benny Snell. Yeah. So.
A couple goal line carries of Benny Snell, maybe. But
yeah, I mean, this.
Do you think Benny Snell might be a sneaky play, though? You know, yeah. something cheap on DFS, maybe?
I'm not playing him.
Okay. I'm just saying, if you're looking for, you know, someone who's...
They're a Sunday night game anyway, so, yeah, if you want to plug him into the... He's probably $200 on the showdown lineup, so, yeah, throw him in there if you want to.
He's got
to
be cheap.
Yeah.
He's got to be cheap.
Low, yeah.
My start this week's going to be... I'm sorry. It's on you, Hux. My bad.
Oh, you could have went. Mm-hmm. My favorite start this week is Le'Veon. And he's going to be, if you look at projected ownership on DraftKings, he's one of the highest owned. Actually, he is projected to be the highest owned running back this week. But at 6,800, Darnold's back. Dallas allows the second most receptions to running backs. And they're also allowing 4.59 yards per carry off this year. And just Le'Veon is that offense. And, I think he, at home, I think they're going to, I think Darnold's going to rely on him.
Don't hate it. Obviously, the biggest issue I have, I mean, it is Darnold back? Is he guaranteed to start?
Yep.
Okay. I was going to say, because if Luke Falk's a starter, like, you just might as well just chalk up the entire Jets team as
well. Le'Veon's still been putting up numbers.
He's been okay. He's not been good. You know what I mean? He's been a mid-tier guy. I mean, he's back in top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was my concern. I didn't realize Darnold was fully back.
He's been cleared.
Excellent, excellent. I'm going to go with Mark Ingram this week. More than anything, it's because Cincinnati has allowed 9 touchdowns to running backs so far this year. Ingram obviously gets all the goal line work. I mean, he's already got 6 touchdowns so far this season. And I'm loving me some Mark Ingram. I think absolutely runs all over Cincinnati. I mean, if everyone else has, why the heck couldn't he?
I like
you know
Mark
what I mean?
This week.
I mean, very realistically, my projection for Mark Ingram is 125 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, what's his price on?
He's 6,600, which is a little expensive just for a guy that doesn't really catch the ball. So he really is touchdown dependent. But I expect to, I could definitely see 2 touchdowns this week.
I mean, and for the price, what's near him price wise?
Derrick Henry or Le'Veon 6,800.
Okay.
Derrick Henry 6,100. Fournette's right in that area. I think Fournette 6,700.
I do have a second one. Not terribly high on him, but AP against Miami. I mean, Miami is basically Cincinnati South right now. I mean, their defense is just an embarrassment. You know. If Washington with Keenum in there can, put 2 or 3 touchdowns up, it makes you wonder if Miami can score 3 touchdowns in a game. You know what I mean? So that could lead to a lot of Adrian Peterson time. AP could, I'm not saying that you've got to rush him into your lineup because I believe he only has something ridiculous, like 108 yards on the season. I mean, he's not been good. But Miami is that bad. So, I mean, if you kind of in a pinch.
I kind of like Aaron Jones this week, too, just against Detroit. They're a little suspect against the run.
Oh, the number 4 running back. What an interesting play, Lambert. I'm just joking.
Thanks, guy.
I'm just joking.
I like Derrick Henry against the Broncos this week. Titans, both their wins have come on the road. They're playing at Denver. And Denver just allowed a couple hundred yards to Fournette a couple weeks ago. Josh Jacobs had over 100 yards on him. You know Henry's going to get 20-plus touches. Yeah, I really like Derrick Henry this week.
I'm glad you brought up Josh Jacobs. Of course I am. So, it makes you wonder, though, is Josh Jacobs just that good? I'm not trying to say he's matchup-proof, but, he had one game that had 44 yards, but after that, his lowest game of the season was 79 yards rushing. You know, and that's at the Colts, who, have been better than expected. 26 for 123 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Bears. The Bears that allowed, 2touchdowns to running backs last year, period.
You think that was a trap game for the Bears?
I mean, both of them were traveling to London, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean, at the end of the day, you've got Oakland losing another 2 hours versus what the Bears were losing. I mean, It wasn't obviously those international games are weird because, you know, it's such a jet lag, different, way different time zone on the other side of the world. And our boy Rich Lavallee, he's a contributor to the show. He helps us with some of our stats. He's a big Raiders fan. He got to go to the game. I was pretty happy for him about that. And then, like you said, with the Broncos, I mean, Jacobs rolled them up for 85 yards, two touchdowns, and then add another 28 on the ground or in the air there.
Yeah.
I just, man, I'm starting to, like, get your Josh Jacobs shares. He's starting to look like he can carry the full load. Well, I mean, that was the question.
That's the thing with him. He gets all the work.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that.
But he's productive with it.
Yeah, no, he is. And he's been more involved the last 2 weeks in the pass game, too. So
yeah, I mean, I will say, because he's typically pretty cheap on DraftKings, I've noticed. Like, dirt cheap, $4,000, $4,500 play. Like, I love plugging him into lineups because he's so
cheap.
That
price will go up. It'll get up there into probably the low sixes if he continues to get the production he's at right now.
So, and, of course, my Raiders are a flukish 3-2 right now.
If we're done talking about the Raiders, my start for wide receiver, I'm going to go ahead and plug DJ Moore in just because I think it's going to be a shootout this week. And he played well last week. He had 8 targets, put up decent amount of points. But this week, like I said, I think it's going to be a shootout, and they're going to have to keep going to him.
Okay. You don't have any love for Curtis Samuel then?
No. Sorry, Arms. You probably should have started Golden Tate.
Should have started Golden Tate. I'm relying on Curtis Samuel to get random rushing touchdown.
Like I said, it could be a shootout, so he could put up. He could put up some decent points this week.
Serious question. I mean, is Carolina just realizing that they like a passing quarterback now?
I still think it's Cam's job.
Oh, yeah. Cam will be. As soon as he's ready, he'll be back in there.
I just wonder if they try to trade him or, you know.
I don't see it happening.
I want to see Will Greer in that offense.
Why?
Just,
Kyle Allen's doing a good
job. I know. But I think I just love the way that kid pushed the ball down the field in college. Wide receiver for yourself there, Mr. Huxtable.
I know I'm kind of sticking with the same team here, but Jamison Crowder, Darnold's back. He had 17 targets week one with Darnold in there, 14 catches. And he's only 4,000 on DraftKings, but I look to hit Crowder to be relevant again.
Well, he's been eating up a lot of targets, too. I mean, even without Darnold there.
So you're not concerned about the matchup, though?
No.
Really? I mean, they've got, what, Cowboys this week?
Yeah.
Man.
You didn't know Crowder was matchup proof?
Yeah.
He's like D. Hopkins.
I just think the targets are going to be there. I don't think he's going to have, like, a monster game. And I guess I'm gearing this more towards a cheap value play on DraftKings. But, you know, with bye weeks, I wouldn't mind plugging him in as my wide receiver 3 this week.
I was going to say possibly someone you pick up on waiver wires in a, you know, a 12 to 14 team league.
Possibly, yeah.
And then, of course, you know, probably a cheap trade option. You know, someone shouldn't be asking for much more than a fourth rounder, you know, third or fourth rounder for Crowder to begin with. So, yeah, I like it. My wide receiver for this week, Scary Terry. You know, back fully healthy. I mean, I know Terry McLaurin's put up some good games whenever he is, you know, healthy. After week 2 or 3, that's chalk play arms. But
how good are we? You've recommended 2 Redskins. I've recommended 2 Jets. Nobody, should anybody even be listening to us?
I said I have no idea what I'm doing. I mean, once you looked at the top 10 wide receivers,
just,
I'm like...
Just throwing darts at this point.
Gardner Minshew's a top 15 quarterback. Why the heck not? We all saw that coming.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at his mustache, it would have told you.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not a Jaguars fan, but I am absolutely a Gardner Minshew fan.
Oh, does Foles get that job back when he's healthy?
Why should he?
I don't know.
That'd be tough. Oh, man, it'd be so tough.
Absolutely. Serious question.
I mean, I guess it just depends on how they're doing when he's ready.
Yeah.
I just don't see how. I'll be honest with you. I don't see how he does. I love what Minshew's done so far on the season. I mean, yeah, they're only 2-3, but, you know, they're also missing their top corner. You know, Jalen Ramsey's hurt.
Yeah.
You know.
And he's doubtful again this week.
Oh, of course he's doubtful. He doesn't want to play for the Jaguars anymore. infuriating. But we're talking about the Redskins, who are once again playing the, you know, Cincinnati South. This is the same team that allowed like 175 yards and what, two or three touchdowns to Marquise Brown to Hollywood week one. And Terry McLaurin plays a similar role as what Marquise Brown does. You know, very fast, quick, shifty, good hands. I mean, get him in space and he's going to do something. Miami's defense is just, I mean, it's just bad. There's no other way of saying it. There's no polite way of saying it. They're horrid. Like, they've got to do something about it. I mean, you got to start from, it's tear down, rebuild, and I don't know how they're going to do it. I mean, they look to be low for years, unfortunately. So, I do have a second one. Do either of you guys have a second start?
Yeah, I got a second one.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I like D.D. Westbrook this week. Saints allow the third most points per game to the slot wide receiver. P.J. Williams is not very good. I think he's going to be more of the – and he's averaged over eight targets a game the last 3 weeks. So, I think D.D.'s going to have a big game this week.
Man, I'm just – You got to wonder who shadowed him, though, right? So, who goes on Didi? If Marshawn Lattimore's on Didi, I don't like it.
No, well, he plays in the slot, so it should be P.J. Williams.
Touche. Valid point. I just know that Marshawn, you know, shut down Mike Evans last week, and it tore me up in, like, freaking three leagues. So, you know, DraftKings lineups, everything. I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, he was the number one wide receiver in football last year at halftime of his game. Like, that was insane. I also have Preston Williams, and that I may have stole this a little bit from you, Hux. And this comes more than anything. Just Washington's bad. Washington's defense is just not good. Preston Williams has an opportunity to, you know, he's the best receiver on the team. I mean, just all there is to it. He's going to get the bulk majority of their targets this week, and he can do the most with it. So. I like me some Preston Williams.
Yeah, me too.
Lambeau, tight ends?
Tight end. You know, I really wanted to say Austin Hooper here.
I've got him written down, but
just because I know your hatred for Austin Hooper. But he is, I mean, he's the tight end one, so it's not, that's an easy play. But I will say Disley, I mean, he's still a top five guy. But you know, Cleveland's just been bad against tight ends this year, so I feel like Disley's going to be a solid play.
I know that Hooper is TE 101, but the matchup is amazing. I mean, Arizona's horrid against tight end.
They've
allowed more than a touchdown a game on average. I mean, they've allowed right up there, you know, top two or three in receptions. You know, Austin Hooper is spend the money in DFS to get him. He's going. I hate Austin Hooper. I mean, I've been pretty clear about this. But Austin Hooper probably outperforms Travis Kelce this week.
I don't even know how he's getting the targets when you've got Julio and Ridley.
They're not targeting Ridley.
And Sanu.
I get that. But, I mean, they have a ton of weapons, but they're just feeding it to Hooper.
And it appears that that is what everybody's going to do on DraftKings this week is play Austin Hooper. He's projected at almost 32% ownership this week, which is double the second guy, which is Kittle.
He should be. I mean, we've got the bet going with the Dynasty Rewind, Bauer and Price and Shevin. And Hooper's having a great year, and this week isn't going to be the one that slows him down.
No.
He's just such a prime matchup for him, which is crazy. But Austin Hooper looks to probably can stretch out his TE 101 lead. Infuriating. I've also got Greg Olsen as a start, and that's just, more than anything, the Buccaneers, like, they've allowed 7+ receptions per game to the tight end, and they've allowed more than a touchdown per game to the tight end. I mean, Olsen eat them alive. So, anyhow, moving on to
my favorite tight ends is Zach Ertz, but that's just he's one of the only options I like on Philly this week. But the Vikings have actually allowed, you know, the tight ends to. Basically, the only thing they've been bad against is the tight ends. Waller did good against them. I think Ingram.
Because Waller's a stud.
Well, I'm just saying that a top-tier tight end, they've produced against the Vikings. And I think Ertz is going to be the best one they've played this year. And he's going to be a focal point for wins.
Okay. I mean, to go.
As he should be.
I was going to say, to go into the season, we look at Ertz and you say he's tight end 2 or 3.
Right, yeah.
You know, I mean, if you love, depends on how much you love your George Kittle, but obviously, you know, most people had, excuse me, Kelce is number one. So, yeah. Let's see, I'm trying to look up that stat for Minnesota. Minnesota has, here's an interesting one, though. They haven't allowed a touchdown to a tight end.
That is interesting.
So, I mean, they've allowed some yards, 293 yards so far to the tight end, but not a touchdown. Most of my statistics, I will say, I use profootballreference.com. So, I mean, if I'm wrong, I apologize. It's their fault. Moving on to sits. Got a sit of the week, quarterback, guys?
Yeah, I'm going to sit Baker. I'm basically sitting Baker until he can start to put up some points. I know the offensive line's garbage. We've hit on that. But I can't trust him, so I'm not going to play him.
No, I mean, what else can you say? And until further notice, you kind of have to sit Baker.
Yeah, that performance on Monday night was embarrassing.
Well, and you paid quite a bit to get him. He was a fourth rounder.
I think he was a fifth,
maybe,
for the most part.
Yeah, there's just too much talent there for them to be putting up numbers.
Exactly. You know,
the lack of numbers.
Yep.
A lot of people had Baker as either quarterback 2, 3, 4, or 5. Like, that was the range that Baker Mayfield was getting drafted in. To put up the rookie season that he had, I mean, once again, he broke the single-season touchdown record. I mean, the guys who held it previously were Peyton Manning and, you know, Russell Wilson. You know, now we've got Baker Mayfield who's taking a slide. I do think his talent will eventually prevail. But I'm with you, Lambert. You got to sit him until...
Right.
I mean, is it crazy to say? You know, you sit Baker Mayfield because now Gardner Minshew's a better option. Like, legitimately, every week, Gardner Minshew's a better option. I mean, Case Keenum is a better option than Baker Mayfield right now. Think about that. I mean, that makes you sick to say it out loud, doesn't it? How about yourself, Hux? Quarterback sit?
I know I said I liked Ertz, but I don't like Wentz this week. Vikings got a really good pass defense. Unless, I mean, Ertz just absolutely goes off and, you know, his stats go to, you know, Wentz's stats all to Ertz.
Danielle Hunter's your top defensive end, too. I mean, he's your number one defensive end.
Yeah, he's going to get some pressure.
They're going to eat him.
The Vikings have allowed the fourth fewest yards. You know, they only have an applied T-total of 20 points. I just like the Vikings this week to keep him contained.
By the way, I'm going to scoot back to tight end real quick. You know, we've got Talia. We talk about Talia a lot. Tight end landscape is atrocious. This year, the tight end landscape is pretty darn respectable.
It's looking better.
I mean, you have 10 guys. I mean, you include Hunter Henry. But you got 10 guys averaging 10 points a game. TJ Hockenson's averaging 9.9, and Delanie Walker's averaging 9.4. I mean, but Hooper, Ingram, Kelce, Mark Andrews, and Disley and Kittle, Darren Waller, all averaging over 15 points a game. Like, the tight ends have shown out this year. I mean, hell, Disley, you know, you're a touchdown leader with 4 touchdowns. I don't think many people saw that coming. I mean, in the game or 2 games he played last year, I know he got hurt pretty early in the season. He looked great, but I didn't expect him to, you know, be a top 5 tight end so at this point in the season.
Yeah, he's really looked good. Russell Wilson's got, I mean, the pass game pretty much goes Disley and Lockett. I mean, that's about it. And I saw a catch rate between them two is like 85%. It's just.
Old Lockett's making Barker eat a little bit of crow, isn't he?
I mean,
he's not great.
Russell Wilson's found his trust in Lockett, and it's just he's going to feed the guy.
He's very.
Well, DK's had.
Yeah, Metcalf, he's been okay.
I mean,
still not a fan. He's been okay.
Lockett's kind of like, he's Doug Baldwin-ish.
He's the new Doug Baldwin.
I mean, you don't have to be the best athlete on the field to be the first target at wide receiver. And that's insanity to me. But my quarterback sit this week is going to be Jared Goff. I just don't like the matchup. I'm avoiding him at all costs in DFS. I feel like Goff's just got an egg waiting to happen. And he's not been performing where you expect him to perform thus far this year. So I'm going to stay away from Jared Goff this week. I just, once again, I guess, you know, points per game, where is he at? He's quarterback 14. And this week, you know, playing against Atlanta, I know they're not great, but
49ers.
What? Oh, wait, I'm looking at week. Why has it got week 7 on there? I don't know what the heck that's about, but apologies for that. But the 49ers, that's the reason I had him, the big reason I had him at sit. I think the 49ers have only allowed like one air touchdown this year.
I think you were saying that earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was some stat line like that.
They've allowed one touchdown to the tight end. I don't think they've allowed a touchdown to a wide receiver this year. My computer's having a little bit of trouble loading statistics right now, but 49ers defense looks absolutely terrifying right now. So, yeah, I'm going to stay away from let's see. Apologies. They've allowed 4, but it's not been a ton of yards. So, anyhow. Moving on to running back. Who got a running back for a sit? Lambert?
I'm going to go ahead and sit Philip Lindsay. I know he had a good week last week, but Tennessee's defense is just too good. I think it's going to be a slow game. I think it's going to be low scoring. And so I don't look for him to get a whole lot of fantasy points this week.
Yeah, I had the Denver running backs written down also, but I'm going to go with Joe Mixon. Kind of talked about him at the beginning of the show, but I'm not going to play the guy until they're going to be playing from behind. I mean, he could get some catches, but I don't look for him to do much.
So you're kind of taking the Baker Mayfield approach?
Yeah, I mean, kind of. I guess it's not quite, because I guess it's depending on who they're playing. Because if they have a good matchup, or
is there a good matchup for him? Like, do they play Miami? You know what I mean?
Yeah, they do. It's
do
late
they?
In the year. Week 16, I believe.
So, I mean,
so they're playing.
There's some teams out there.
So, yeah, yeah. It's a tank battle.
I mean, I'm sorry, but at this point, if you can get value out of Joe Mixon, get it. I'm in a league that's a 4-player keeper at the end of the season. I had Mixon, and I traded him. So basically, you start in the 5th round with your draft. I traded him for a 6th rounder, so a de facto 7th rounder, because he, long story short, I couldn't get any value out of anyone else. Nobody else wanted to trade a draft pick. So I ended up with, you know, kind of a 1st rounder and then 2 2nd rounders. Team's performing well in that league. I'm glad I moved him, because I look like a freaking genius for that one. So, yeah, my sit this week is going to be I don't care who plays for the Rams, who starts. The 49ers have yet to allow a touchdown on the ground.
That seems insane.
They've yet to allow a touchdown to a running back in the air. The 49ers defense looks legit. So, I mean, a total of 267 yards allowed on the ground. Believe that's tops in the NFL. If not, it's top 2. Guys, four games, they haven't allowed 300 yards. No touchdowns. Only 17 receptions to running backs for a total of 112 yards. Like, I'm sorry, but I know if you have Todd Gurley, you paid a first rounder for him. I know he's looking doubtful, but if he somehow suits up, steer away. Absolutely avoid at all cost every running back for the Rams in DFS.
You know, I get your reasoning behind your 2 Rams sits, but I'm looking at this game, and the over-under is 50.5, which is third highest this week. Somebody's got to score. I mean, it's either going to be Goff in the air, or you know, Malcolm Brown's going to have 2 or 3 touchdowns.
Daryl Henderson.
It's going to come somewhere. They're favored. You know, they're at home. I'm just saying.
I just feel like this is a disappointing week. I feel like there's going to be yards. You know, I'm not saying that there's not going to be a ton of yards in the air for Jared Goff, but I just don't see the touchdowns coming, man. Like, it's just, for me, it's just not going to happen. I'm sorry.
I mean, obviously,
the Niners,
just because the total's projected at 50 doesn't mean it's going to happen. But, I mean, if you're a betting man,
I'd probably,
if I was you, I'd go place a bet on that under then, because, I mean, the Niners aren't going to put up.
Yeah, Garoppolo's not putting up.
They're not going to put up 30 to 40 points to cover this point spread here.
One thing I will say about San Fran is they're schedule so far was the Buccaneers, the Bengals, the Steelers, and the Browns. So
that's probably why their numbers look so good.
That could have something to do with it. But if we look at the running backs, you know, Peyton Barber, Ronald Jones combined, that's okay. Joe Mixon, I mean, Joe Mixon's a good running back. He's just in a bad situation. James Conner, I mean, James Conner did nothing against him in, as far as, you know, getting in the end zone. And then Nick Chubb, there was yards, but he didn't get in the end zone. You're not going to win in DFS without touchdowns. No doubt about it. So I just can't play him. I mean, if you're playing in your home league or, you know, standard six team, you got to play whichever. Odds are if you had Gurley and you've got Malcolm Brown, you know, or Henderson or whoever is going to end up suiting up as a starter, you've got to play him. But I'm steering away in DFS. You know, never sit your studs in your regular leagues.
Well, that was something I was going to touch on. I mean, you're always going to start your studs just for the fact that you paid so much for them, and there's that chance that they're going to have big weeks anyway.
Oh, yeah. So. I mean, a superstar can show out against anybody. I mean, stars perform. But for the price, there's better options. So,
at wide receiver this week, I'm going to go ahead and sit Alshon. Hux, you've talked at length about the Eagles' struggles this week. Plus, he's going to have Xavier Rhodes in his hip pocket, so I don't like that matchup at all. So I'm sitting Alshon for sure.
Mr. Hux?
I'll add to your Rams here. I'm going to sit Brandon Cooks, and I believe you mentioned the stat of the 49ers of their not allowing the deep ball.
You talked about that pre-show, actually.
Okay, yeah. They've two completions that have traveled over 20 yards. So I'd sit Cooks. Plus, he's coming off the concussion. Have they said if he's going to play or is he a game-time decision?
He practiced the other day.
Has he been clear from the concussion, though, yet?
That was the last step that he had to get through, and okay. I'm not sure, to be honest.
Okay, so, I mean, you know, either way, I'd sit him. I love, you know, Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods this week, but I'm a sit Cooks.
Cooks is ready to go.
Okay, well.
In value-wise on DraftKings, you've got Cooks at 5,400, and you got Robert Woods at 5,600.
I love it. Kupp, I love Woods at 5,600.
Kupp, obviously, way up the list. He's a 71, yep. So. As far as wide receiver for me, my sit's going to be DJ Chark. Listen, if you've got him as your wide receiver three, you still have to play him, right? Because, you know, as of right now, realistically, if you have DJ Chark as your wide receiver three, you're probably just ecstatic you have, you know, because you had a flyer at the other wide receiver three spot. But if Marshawn Lattimore can stop Mike Evans, hold him to 0 points, like, I love baby Chark, but he's not Mike Evans. You know, he does entirely different things. And I know you're about to push back on me a little bit, but...
I mean, not a little bit. The only thing I got actually in favor of Chark is that for Tampa Bay, you know, they have other weapons like Godwin, O.J. Howard, which they don't use for whatever reason.
That's insanity.
But Minshew's, it seems like he really likes... You know, DJ Chark, and I mentioned D.D. Westbrook. I think them too. I think he's going to get his target. I think Evans only had 3 targets last week, so they just kind of went away from him. I think you could see Minshew force the ball to Chark this week.
Possibly, and you know he's got the best arm in the league. Of course, you know Gardner Minshew is. You know he's a legend in his own right. So I love that guy. I know he's not everything that we kind of hype him up to be, or I hype him up to be, but. Just the dude's attitude. He makes you want to be a Jaguars fan. So let's see. I've got wide receiver. Moving on to tight end.
I've got Delanie Walker. Dude's only had 2 receptions in the last 2 games. He used to be so reliable. I mean, just like the tortoise, he was slow and steady. He always got you a certain amount of points. And just the last 2 games, it's not looked pretty. And I'm going to sit him until he gives me a reason to play him.
I'm going to sit Jason Witten this week. I know Jamal Adams is going to be covering him. He's been covering the tight ends. So, and he's allowed the Jets have allowed the 3rd fewest receiving yards to tight ends this year. So unless they try to game plan around it and use Adams against Cooper or Gallup, but I'm sitting with
him. I mean, the Jets have only allowed 11 receptions to the tight end this year.
Yeah, so, I mean,
that's pretty impressive. I mean, through four games.
You might not be playing Witten anyways, but I'm avoiding him this week.
I've got a just avoid at all costs sit, and I know I've been sticking with this daggone game, but the Rams have not. I don't even care
just
which
the
tight
whole
end.
Team
no,
set
serious is a heart attack. Do not play a Rams tight end. Like the once again, San Francisco 49ers have allowed less than 90 yards on the season. Once again, that is 90 yards on the entire season to the tight end.
Has anyone ever wanted to start a Rams tight end, though?
No, but what I'm getting at is there is definitely something on the waiver wire that will perform better than a Rams tight end. If you've got like an Everett as your bye, Higbee or whoever the hell they've got now, if you've got him as, you know, to cover for a bye week, go to the waiver wire. You're going to find something better. I mean Mo Alie-Cox, you know, he might catch a ball this week. But
Everett had a good week last week. I think people will probably look at that recency bias and, you know, let's play him.
Well, Cooks was out for a good part of that game.
But they've still got two very
Yeah, with Cooks
reliable.
Back, they're going to have the more three wide receiver sets. Everett will be less involved anyway, so.
And then I've just got a steer away from in DraftKings. I mean, Travis Kelce's price is almost $2,000 higher than any other tight end. Houston, as a team, has allowed less than four receptions, or right around four receptions a game, and basically 30 yards a game with no touchdowns to the tight end. I know Travis Kelce's matchup proof. I know Patrick Mahomes is a special type of quarterback. There's no doubt in my mind that there's going to be some success there. But to pay the extra $2,000 that you've got to pay in DraftKings, I just feel like there's going to be equal value in Austin Hooper or Will Disley, and you could play up at a different position.
I'm just really surprised that you would say that, given your love for Kelce.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Kelce, but, I mean, you've got Kittle playing the Rams, which, you know, it could be a high-scoring game, of course. Arizona is, you know, the matchup for Hooper. They've the worst team against tight end this year. Disley's playing the Browns, and that's – I mean, the Browns aren't good against a tight end. I mean, Mark Andrews just – he's been consistently good. I mean, there's just so many better options. And Mark Andrews is the cheapest of them at $4,800, and Kittle's only $5,200. You know? I mean, your love of Zach Ertz, I know you liked him this week, but he's $5,400. That's $1,600 cheaper than Travis Kelce. I mean, if Kelce gets 100 yards and a touchdown, did he pay his value? I just don't think – I don't see a possibility of it.
I get it. I mean, and in your – on DraftKings and your double ups, cash games, you know, head-to-heads, whatever, you know, play Hooper. I mean, he's pretty much a cash game lock to me. But, I mean, if you want to be different, go for somebody a little bit lower ownership, get away from the chalk, you know, Kelce's not a bad play because, I mean, even though he's actually showing as the – he's showing as the fourth highest projected ownership.
Kelce?
Kelce is. After Hooper, Kittle, and Gerald Everett. It's projected at 16% ownership right now. So I'm going to take your advice and not play Everett this week.
Oh, thank you.
That's probably a good reason, though.
But after that, it drops off to nothing after that. So Mark Andrews is only projected at 5.5% ownership. So I may lean that way, you know.
How good does he look this year, too?
I might go towards Andrews instead of Kelce if I'm not playing Hooper, so.
I mean, whenever
just because of the ownership.
Whenever I look at it, just to take a quick glance, to sit Travis Kelce, you could move up from, let's say, Chris Carson up to Chubb or Leonard Fournette for the value. I mean, whenever you're looking at wide receiver, you know, you get to move up from Tyler Lockett to, Jesus, Julio Jones and Michael Thomas. You know what I mean? Like, the difference in the value there is just insane. So, yeah.
No, I get it.
I've got to stay away from him.
The one issue I have with it, you look at the over-under on that game, is it's 55, and they're at home. They're not going to lose at home again. They're going to put up a bunch of points. Tyreek Hill might play this week, but you know, out of all the tight ends, Kelce's still the most likely one to put up 10 catches, 150 yards, two touchdowns.
You're absolutely right.
So that's why I think he's a good tournament play.
So obviously, we're still going back. I'll reiterate, we don't sit our studs.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, but, you're playing Kelce in all your season-long leagues, redraft, dynasty, whatever.
And some of the other players we mentioned, you know, if they're your stud, your starter, obviously, you're not going to sit them. But I'm looking at this from a DFS play. It's because, once again, it's not like you can magically acquire Travis Kelce in your home league without making a trade.
You've got bye weeks coming up. I mean, you're getting into the bye week season. So some of these guys, you know, aren't your big-name players. So you might as well plug them in and try and get a few points.
Absolutely. So, guys, do you have anything you'd like to add before we sign off, other than Hux's DFS for the week?
No. I don't have a whole lot. I've covered a lot of my DraftKings plays just over my sit and starts. So
feel free to go back over them, like with your stacks and whatnot.
If you got anything you want me to talk about with DraftKings?
Lambert, you got anything you'd like to add?
I've got nothing.
Go ahead, tear it up. I will add some input that's probably worthless.
The two most popular games this week are obviously the Chiefs Texans and Atlanta Arizona are the two, you know, the two highest over unders. Plus, you know, just ownership wise, they're going to be popular. You know, Kyler's going to be popular. Matt Ryan's going to be popular. And then on the Houston Kansas City side. You know, Mahomes, you can actually get him at a little bit lower ownership this week. Of course, you're paying the, you know, the high price of, what is he, 7,500. So, I mean, if you want to play the Chiefs this week, you're going to have to find some value, which opened up with Gurley being doubtful. So, you can plug in Malcolm Brown if you want at 4,300. If you want to take a real, you know, shot with Darrell Henderson, I think he's 3,200. Not sure how much he's going to play, but you got to think this is the week he actually gets on the field and contributes a little bit. But I like a Viking stack this week with Cousins. You can go mix and match. I mean, I know Diggs hasn't produced much, but you know, you think he's bound to have one of his breakout weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if you can go Cousins, Thielen, Diggs, if you don't want to play Diggs, you can go Cousins, Dalvin, Thielen. You know, Cousins provides that value with 5,200. I like Baltimore. I like Lamar by himself. Or if you want to Ingram or Andrews, or just Ingram by himself. I think we talked about him earlier. You did.
Any love for Hollywood?
He's game time decision. So it's really. I guess if he plays, I probably won't have a whole lot of him either way, but. If he doesn't play, I kind of like Lamar a little bit more. I think he might run a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he's not going to have the ownership as the other guys. So, if you want to, you know, get a little bit different, I think I don't have the ownership pulled up. I know I talked about the Jets a little bit. I love Le'Veon Bell on DraftKings. With the uses he gets, along with Fournette, they're priced roughly the same, but just the volume each of them get at their price, their discounted price compared to the top guys, and they see relatively the same amount of touches. excuse me.
Stop that.
But yeah, that's about it. I just keep it simple this week, I think.
Don't get too cute. Do you have any, like, extreme value wide receiver plays?
I mean, extreme? I mean, I like Preston Williams at 4,100, Crowder at 4,000. We talked about both of them already. Not sure if Dee's price, but I like him.
Let me ask you about Alden Tate this week. I mean, John Ross goes to an IR, so, I mean, that kind of more or less solidifies that guy being able to get on the field. He's got some, you know, they target him. A star.
He's had 6, 6, and 10 the last 3 weeks. The only thing that worries me about him is, does Marlon Humphrey cover him because Boyd plays in the slot, or do they move Humphrey to shadow around with Boyd? That's my only thing. If he's going to be covered by Humphrey, no, I don't like him. And his price is up 1,000 from last week. He's at 4,500, so he's not as cheap this week. I like some other guys around him better. Plus, like I said, I like Taj Boyd this week. He's at 6,300. He's averaging over 10 targets a game. I think he had 14 last week. I do like Taj Boyd this week. Gotcha. Tyler Boyd, whatever Tyler the hell Boyd. His name like, is.
Taj Boyd, the former quarterback for
Taj
Clemson.
Boyd, Tyler Boyd, whoever the hell.
Probably plays like, in the CFL right now, that guy?
Yeah, that guy, Taj Boyd.
Okay. I mean, let me ask you, I've got who's provided that Tyreek Hill doesn't play this week? Is it going to be the usher or the used car salesman that leads the Chiefs in receiving this week?
It's Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce. Well, at wide receiver, no. Excuse me.
And Watkins probably isn't playing. He's doubtful. So it's a toss-up. I mean, is this Mecole Hardman's week this week? Or is it, is it Pringle? Is that his name?
Brian Pringle?
Pringle. DeMarcus Robinson. Who knows with them?
I mean, it about makes you sick.
Yeah, you really don't know.
Because you're literally just throwing darts at the wall at this point. And you're like, maybe not.
I mean, you really don't know to play. And it's the same way with the running back situation. Do you play Damian Williams? Do you play LeSean McCoy? Do you play Darrell Williams? I mean, you can't trust any of them. But, I mean, they're going to score the points. It's just you don't know who it's going to be.
Gotcha.
I mean, with an over and under on 55. I mean, if I was going to do, like I said, Kansas City, Houston, the Houston side probably going to be a little more popular. Mm-hmm. Watson, he's a little bit cheaper. Hopkins, I think he might be the highest projected, him or Cooper Kupp's the highest projected ownership this week at wide receiver. But, I mean, that side's going to be the more popular side with Fuller and Hopkins and Watson. But
so I'll ask you the same question about Arizona because they do the same thing.
Yeah.
Obviously not a ton.
I love Larry Fitzgerald this week, by the way.
Okay, I was going to say not a ton, nowhere near the overall level of production, but it seems like every week or two you've got one of them that flashes and – apparently this week it's going to be Fitz.
I believe so.
Put it on the board. So
yeah, Atlanta, they just they're not as good. I think it's not as good against the slot guys. I just think he's going to – and Kirk, he's game time decision. I like him this week if he plays.
Gotcha. So what you're saying is you think Kyler Murray is going to be quarterback number one. All right.
He was Lambert's, but I had him wrote down. I like Kyler Murray this week.
Makes me ill.
I mean, what's not to like about the guy?
In fact, he's 4'6".
I mean, he's got a great matchup this week. They're at home, over under 51.5. He's going to give you some rushing yards. I mean.
I'm just still not a fan. No, I know he's got a good floor.
He's a good fantasy quarterback.
He is. I just don't know if he's a good real-life quarterback, and that's what stresses me out about him. So anything else either guys like to add before we sign off? All right, once again.
I believe that's it.
All right, thanks for listening. Please find us on iTunes or whatever podcast player you're at for a rating and review. And, of course, subscribe. We appreciate everyone tuning in tonight. I always say good night. So I'm out. Good night.
See ya.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.